Hello and welcome to Political Contessa. I'm Jennifer Nassor and I am your Political Contessa. Now, look, if you think Palestine is so great, if you think Gaza is so great, I encourage you to go over there. I think every single one of those people who are protesting should have to go over and live there for a year and see women when your rights are taken away from you, when you can't get educated, you can't drive a car, you have no right to property, you have to walk behind your husband, you have to cover your face. You can get raped at any time, which is what would happen for opening your mouth and protesting the way that it's going on today. For anyone in the gay community, same exact thing. You go over there, they will kill you. You have no rights. They don't appreciate any of our Western ways.
Welcome to Political Contessa. I'm Jennifer Nassor, and this show is here to support your interest in center-right politics, policy, and breaking news. Listen in and discover how to awaken your inner ideal candidate, and if you're ready, how you can jump in and change the world as a runner or a supporter. Welcome to Political Contessa. If you or a friend have ever considered running, or you know a woman who should, I've got something just for you. My quick guide called Secrets from the Campaign Trail. It will show you five signs to tell you you're ready to enter the political arena. To get these tips and learn about all new podcast episodes and ways to get involved, head over to politicalcontessa.com.
I spent a total of 10 years between two different boards of trustees. One was at Bridgewater State University in Massachusetts, and then the other one was at Suffolk University in Massachusetts. And when you're a trustee, at least for me, I took my role very seriously. I felt as though I had a duty to the university, to the students, to the parents, to make sure that we were making good decisions. And that goes from tuition to, who's going to be the head of the law school, or I was on the presidential search committee for one of the universities. So that's kind of an important role. Well, I'm sure you know where I'm getting right now, but what we're seeing go on college campuses today is something we haven't seen, at least in this century. And I know 2000, September 11th happened a long time ago for these kids that are in college. A lot of them weren't even alive at the time. And maybe some of the professors were children at the time and they don't remember. Just like I wasn't around during the Vietnam War and when the protests were breaking out on college campuses back then. However, the difference between the Vietnam War and protesting the war and today is that these kids who are protesting, and I know some of these universities have said that they're outside sources that are coming in. However, what we see going on the campus of Columbia, what we've seen on the campuses at Wisconsin, Madison, at UNC, at here in Massachusetts, Harvard, where Harvard Yard was taken over, and Emerson, Northeastern, all of these universities, what we're seeing right now is actually terrorist activity. These kids are supporting terrorism. And whether they know that they are supporting terrorism or not, that's what Hamas is. And so they are lowering the, I can't even say it because it makes me so angry. They're lowering the American flag and sticking up a Palestinian flag. Now, look, if you think Palestine is so great, if you think Gaza is so great, I encourage you to go over there and you should move there. And you know what? We clearly have so many people that are trying to come over our border and live in America for a better life. I think every single one of those people who are protesting should have to go over and live there for a year and see what it's like. See women when your rights are taken away from you, when you can't get educated, you can't drive a car, you have no right to property, You have to walk behind your husband. You have to cover your face. You can get raped at any single time, which is what would happen for opening your mouth and protesting the way that it's going on today. For anyone who, in the gay community, same exact thing. You go over there, they will kill you. You have no rights. They don't appreciate any of our Western ways, which includes being able to protest. Now, listen, peaceful protests are totally different. But when we are taking over buildings, like at Columbia, when we are putting encampments out, when people who are kids who want to go to class, students who want to go to class can't go to class, it's outrageous. Brown University, so a lot of these students are basically saying that they want the administration to have conversations about divesting from companies that have ties to Israel. The language that these kids and these students, these protesters are using is anti-Semitism. I cannot even imagine that we are at this point in time right now where this is being allowed and tolerated. So Brown University, the president of Brown University, said that they were going to take into consideration the wants and desires of the students, of the protesters. But Harvard had to close Harvard Yard, and anyone without a student ID couldn't go through. The demonstrators said that they faced harassment at their encampment, and they feel as though they are being targeted, which is hysterical. This is Harvard. It is the best university in our country. Well, some might say so. Right now, I think it's a piece of crap. But, you know, it is an Ivy League university. The education there, the students that go there are incredibly privileged. And this group is saying that the university has sought to shut off all access and visibility to the encampment. The university, you know, I'm glad that they actually figured this out, took disciplinary action against about 40 individuals. We have this, we see it at here in Massachusetts at MIT, it's happening at Tufts. These are incredible schools where these students are so fortunate to get into these universities, to be able to study there. But what has happened? I think it brings up a bigger question of what actually happened here. How did the messaging end up in a place where you have, let's see, student protesters at Brown? They started taking down their encampments earlier in the week, ending their week-long encampment for Gaza, after the president of the university agreed to put a divestment resolution up for vote at the Corporation of Brown University's October meeting. The organizers think that this is a historic win. I find it to be repulsive. Since when are protesters guiding an administration, guiding a board, unless the board itself is anti-Semitic, unless the faculty is anti-Semitic? But again, it brings a larger question out, which I really would like for you to think about. What are professors teaching our students? Now, I talked to the president of my daughter's university yesterday, and I thanked her for, you know, staying strong on this and for keeping this away. But not every parent feels as comfortable. But why is this? Have we thought about all of the outside money that comes into college campuses, that funds chairs that professors occupy, that fund research that they are doing, that the faculty is doing at the university? Do we know where all that foreign money is coming from, who's giving it, and how they're driving the research and the data, therefore what the t- the professors are teaching to our students. University tuitions, if you don't have a kid in college, by the way, university tuitions have soared. They're astronomical. Some universities are over $90,000 a year. Now, yes, the people who have money have to pay it, and the people who don't, you may be fortunate enough to get some money, maybe not. But does that mean our kids should be taught any different? Where is the respect? Where are the teachings of actual history? Where are the teachings of actual fact and knowledge? And instead of teaching gender studies or whatever it is that, whatever random majors these students are coming up with today, maybe we should get back to the basics and actually teach facts. I find it to be something that is very scary for our future. And I'm worried about where we are going to be, where our country is going to be in another 10 years. But think about the question of why are they being taught what they're being taught? Who is teaching it? Where are they getting their ideas and their information? And how can we change this? Because as much as my Jewish friends who have pulled out of universities and won't give money anymore, as much as I think that that is a phenomenal statement, the money is just still pouring in from these other foreign sources, and you lose your seat at the table. Because at the end of the day, money actually with these universities actually leads to having a voice. And that's why we're seeing what we're seeing on these college campuses. So I will leave you with that. I thank you for listening to me, Jennifer Nassor, your political Contessa. I hope you stay happy, healthy, and safe.
Thanks so much for listening to Political Contessa. For all the ways to listen and to get the inside scoop on what's happening in center-right politics for women like us, head over to politicalcontessa.com.